Well, this morning we're going to talk about having real faith and what real faith is all about. And as mentioned weeks ago, we had an opportunity to go to the conference in San Antonio, and it was very inspiring hearing about what is happening around the world, hearing about disciples who are living their lives, risking their lives, and really living lives by faith. And I do believe that if we live our lives by faith, we too can have an incredible impact in our city, around the world, but it requires having real faith. So first we're going to watch a video. For some of you who may not have seen it, it's a video clip of a man who just recently walked across Niagara Falls. And so I want to ask the ushers to, if they can turn off the lights. In case you're looking to do something on your family vacation, Niagara Falls is only a 6-hour drive away. You want to try something like that. I remember when we watched that on the Friday night it was happening, when it was live, we were sitting there going, my goodness, all it takes is for a strong wind or something just to knock them off course, and then it's all over. But you know, it's an incredible story to see this man walk across Niagara Falls. And as you listen to what he was saying, and as a commentator was saying how, you know, it's a struggle. His legs felt weak. It was a struggle for him to make it across, but one step at a time, he ended up making it across and crossing Niagara Falls. You know, in our own lives as Christians, you know, we have our struggles with our faith. You know, it does take a lot of energy, a lot of hard work. But really, it's all about taking one step at a time until we finish the race. You know, here's a man who did not just say he would cross Niagara Falls, as many people said they would. But what made him different was that he actually did it. You know, there was a story that said, have you heard about the guy who walked the tightrope across Niagara Falls? Many people watched him do it. To them he asked, do you believe I can walk a tightrope across the falls? They replied, yes. They had already seen him do it. Then he pushed a wheelbarrow on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. When he completed the feat, he asked his onlookers, do you believe I can walk a tightrope across the falls pushing a wheelbarrow? To that they replied unanimously, yes, because they saw him do that too. Finally, a buddy of the tightrope walker climbs into the wheelbarrow, and the tightrope walker pushes him across the falls. Wow, what a daring feat. When they finished, the tightrope walker asked the crowd, do you believe I can walk a tightrope across the falls pushing a wheelbarrow with a person in it? To that they exclaimed, yes, for they were now believers in this guy's awesome abilities. Then he looked at the crowd and asked, who's next? And not one person decided to get in the wheelbarrow. You know, it's one thing to say, one thing, it's another thing to actually to do it. And that's one thing we learn here when we think about this man who crossed Niagara Falls. You know, it's one thing to say you can do something, it's another thing to act upon it. The same way with faith. It's one thing to say you believe. It's another thing to act on what you believe. It's the same thing when we talk about faith. You know, in our lives today, we might not ever walk on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. You know, we may not even participate in the Olympics as they have started, or have an opportunity to win a medal. But I do believe we can all make decisions to live by faith, by having real faith, and experience the adventure, the excitement, and the fulfillment and impact that comes from walking by faith. And so today as we talk about having real faith, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we are so excited to be able to be here this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your word that encourages us, that inspires us, that even challenges us to go deeper in our faith. And Father, we know from time to time our faith is tested with different challenges that we go through. But Father, I pray that our faith will become even stronger. And that, Father, we'll live our lives as faithful men and women. And that, Father, we will experience the lives you've called us to experience. And that, Father, we'll be able to please you. And we'll be able to influence the lives around us. Father, please bless this time as we study your word. Please allow your word to speak to each and every one of our hearts. Father, as you see fit. Father, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Having real faith. You know, I have with me, as you may see from a distance, this looks like a U.S. dollar, a U.S. bill. But one thing you'll realize, if you take a very closer look, that it looks like a U.S. bill. Now this says $1 million. And this U.S. bill says $44. But there's a big difference. And so I have no problem giving this away, because this one has a picture of Barack Obama. That's good for us. This one here, quite appropriate for us to ring bell. Let's keep your money back on it. You know, we found this when we went on our U.S. trip down to New York, that all these different bills that looked like U.S. currency, but they were actually not. They looked real from a distance, but they were not real currency. You know, growing up, you know, I got duped at times in terms of buying jewelry. So I used to be always surprised as to how I could find a gold necklace for $10. And I found out it wasn't true gold. It looked like gold. I thought it was gold. But then when I got bumps on my neck and my skin started to turn a different color, I realized, you know what? This is not real gold. It looked like real gold, but of course for $10, chances are you're not getting a gold necklace. Whether it's money, whether it's jewelry, or again, whether it's faith, it can look real, but not be real. And the Bible helps us understand what is real faith. What does it mean to have real faith? In Hebrews chapter 11, if you turn there with me, and I know it probably wasn't just me who bought fake jewelry and got many things around the neck, but it's one of those things where you can tell what's real and what is fake. But in Hebrews chapter 11, first of all, it helps us understand what is faith. In Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe is formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. But before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, what is faith? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And the ancients were commended. And you read through the book of Hebrews, you see different individuals who are commended for how they lived their life. And the one thing you see, that it wasn't just something that they, a feeling. Faith was not just something they thought. When you read through the book of Hebrews, their faith was demonstrated in what they did. And it says here that Enoch was commended as one who pleased God. You know, I believe that each and every one of us, that we should strive to live lives where we have a faith that pleases God. That we should strive to have a faith that pleases God when God looks at our individual faith. That He is pleased by our faith. And it says here in verse 6, without faith. That it says it is absolutely impossible to please God. That if we do not live our lives by faith, then we cannot please God. You know, in James chapter 2, you know, James also talks about what faith is and what faith is not. And in James chapter 2, in verse 14, it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food, if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You know, here James helps us understand, you know, what is faith? You know, what is genuine faith? He also helps us understand what real faith is not. And the first thing we see is that real faith is not just something you say. Real faith is not just something you say. You know, it's very easy to say you're going to cross Niagara Falls. It's another thing to do it. And here it says that, what good is, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? And the answer to that is no. You know, many people claim to have faith, but not have real faith. Many people claim to be Christians, but not true Christians. You know, I was one of them. I believed until I sat down and studied the Bible. I really believed, sincerely in my heart, that I was a Christian. And yet, the stuff I was doing did not match up with what the Bible defined as being a Christian. Because typically, we might label Christians if they come to church, if they say a loud amen in church, if they do some good deed. Because we can claim many different things, but it does not mean that it's true. You know, again, it says, what good is it if a man claims to have faith? The real faith is not just about what you say. You know, it's like a spouse. It's like me saying to my wife, you know, honey, I really deeply love you. And the rest of the week I neglect her. Don't meet her needs. Don't talk to her. You say that happens? That happens in the world. I'm going to clarify that. Wasn't a testimony about, oh, that happens in Howard and Carrie's home. But that happened. But that's not what true love is. It's one thing to say it. It's all about what we do. Real faith is not just something that we say. Real faith is not just something you feel. You know, it says here, if one of you says, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but there's nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? You know, real faith is not just something you feel. You know, I'm sure many of us have watched a movie where it emotionally pulled at our hearts. Even to the point where we may have cried. And I still remember the first movie I cried at was Beaches. I don't know how I even got into that movie theater to watch Beaches. I was a teenager. Some of the teenagers are not going to a theater to watch Beaches. For some reason, I found myself in there, and I was in tears. And of course, you know, being a teenager, kind of turn to the side when the tears are coming down your eyes so no one sees. But you think about whether it be a movie, and there's still movies that I cry when I watch them. There's other commercials that pull at your heartstrings. You know, and they show these different TV clips on World Vision, Help These Kids, and they really try to make you feel a certain way. And where they pull out your heartstrings, and you feel something inside. You know, the faith is not just something we feel. Because it's more than an emotion or a sentiment. But similarly, when it comes to practicing our faith, we can feel something, but that's where it stops. Where we can be the same way, emotionally charged up. And we might feel something when we get charged up by coming to church. We might get charged up by seeing somebody. We might get charged up by as we went to a conference. But sometimes we can just have an emotional experience. What happens is what we do. Because real faith is not just about something we feel. Because we can feel for those in pain. We can feel, even in our hearts, for the lost in our city. But it is more than just, faith is more than just what we feel about those in pain. More about what we feel about the lost in our city. The real faith is not just something you feel. You know, real faith is also not just something you think. For some, faith is intellectual. You know, when I went to school at St. Paul's and took a course at Ottawa U, you know, for some, when they taught faith, it was about knowledge. It was about gaining as much knowledge as possible. But it was more about intellectual. It was about debating. You know, you think about through the scriptures. You know, sometimes if we base our lives on faith being how we think, you know, the way we think, we can easily think our way out of a miracle happening. Because the way we think at times on as to what is logical. But faith is not logical. Because God is not limited by the things that we are limited by. That faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, someone said faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you see its results. You know, faith is not what we know, but it's what is shown. You know, real faith is also not just something you believe. You know, in verse 19, it says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You know, the devil and demons believe in God. You know, the devil is considered a great theologian. And he knows the Bible better than all of us. He believes God exists. But of course he does not do what God says. You know, but real faith is not just something that we believe. You know, Jesus taught that in John chapter 8. You know, you can keep your finger in James, but in John chapter 8, you know, what did Jesus teach us about true discipleship? In John chapter 8, in verse 31, in our scripture that many of us are familiar with, John 8:31, and this is accurate, even if you look at verse 30, it says, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. Verse 31, it says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, these Jews put their faith in Jesus. But Jesus helped them to know, you know what? It doesn't just stop there. To believe is one thing. But to believe is not enough. Because God does not want fans, spectators, religious people, but people who cling to and put his word into practice. That obedience and doing what God says is a must. The real faith is not just about what we believe, but it's about what we do. And real faith, again, is something you do. And that is what we see here in verse 20 on. So you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son on the altar? You know, this passage, or this illustration, was the theme of our conference on the mountain of the Lord. You know, in Genesis chapter 22, you know, the story of Abraham is an amazing story. And again, it was the theme of our conference on the mountain of the Lord. Now, we talked about faith. We heard different stories about men and women around the world who were living their lives by faith. And in Genesis chapter 22, we'll actually read it. In Genesis chapter 22, in verse 1, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went out over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring and all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." You know what? A challenging, convicting, yet inspiring story about Abraham's faith. You know, Abraham here is called to sacrifice his son. It says his only son, whom he loved. And he was to go and sacrifice his son. You know, Abraham probably thought he was going to lose his son. But for Abraham, he did not withhold his son. And yes, this is a story about sacrifice, but it's an incredible story about Abraham's obedience to God. And a story about Abraham's faith in God. That you look at Abraham's faith, Abraham had real faith. And he sacrificed because he trusted God. You know, I'm not sure what Isaac was thinking as they were going up the mountain. But one thing we do see here, that Abraham sacrificed his son. You know, Abraham, of course, this was not a faith based on what he said. It was not a faith based on how he felt. Because I'm sure this would have been a very difficult night before this happened for Abraham. That this would not have been a very easy decision for Abraham. That it would have been a very emotionally difficult thing for him to do. He didn't just think about doing it. But he actually, in his heart, he sacrificed his son to God. And we see that Abraham was not one to hold back anything from God. You read different stories about Abraham prior. God told him to go. He went. He was called to sacrifice, and he sacrificed. That he did not hold back any part of his life from God. You know, where is your faith at this morning? You know, when we look at Abraham, you know, we may not be called, like Abraham, to sacrifice a physical being. But do we trust God? Do we trust God with our spouse? With our families? Do we hold back from doing the things that might challenge us? Because sometimes it's very easy for us to just hold back from God. We might hold back doing what God wants from us because we're afraid maybe what people are going to think about us. Hold back in our classrooms. Hold back in our workplace. Hold back in our neighborhood. Because you know what? If I obey God, my friends, my family are going to think I've lost it. Or we might hold back because we don't want to feel some kind of pain in our heart. Or we might hold back for fear of being disappointed. Abraham did not hold back any part of his heart from God. And God worked incredible ways in Abraham. You know, it's so easy to hold back. Maybe you're holding back from a command of God. But God calls us to obey. No matter how painful it is, no matter how difficult it is, that is what real faith is all about. Real faith is not about coming close enough and then not going through with it. Real faith is about obeying God, doing what God calls us to, and God will help us through it all. You know, we heard stories about disciples who risked their lives. You know, that's what I'm always challenged by because, you know, I think about living in Canada and, you know what, love comfort. And as much as I might think, okay, I'll sacrifice here, I'll sacrifice there, I'm always challenged because no matter how much I might think, I might sacrifice here, sacrifice there, there are many people who sacrifice so much more. Am I hearing about these stories of disciples who risked their lives? Falsely accused disciples. Put in prison for years. And then released. And then not a bitter attitude in their hearts. After being falsely accused, put in prison, released. They came out of prison. They're not holding back from God. They're still excited about living their life as faithful disciples. You know, the tendency would be, wow, I got put in jail before. I don't want to go back to jail. But they're still giving of their hearts to God because they still trust God. You know, another example that was shared was about disciples who don't hold back anything from God. One being their money. And there's a story. You know, I've been to the Dominican Republic. And my wife and I have been there. Sometimes go on vacation there. Went to a resort there. And I remember going there. And then sometimes we'd leave the resort. And then we'd go in a cab. Because they say certain places are not safe. We go in a cab. And I remember the cab driver saying, you know where you're staying? That's not the Dominican Republic. And so I remember we were driving, and then we'd see people, literally, going into these dumpsters. There was a field of garbage, and it was packed with people going there to rummage through the stuff. And the cab driver said, "You know what? That's the Dominican Republic." So a brother was sharing about the church in the Dominican Republic. And he was sharing about these different challenges they have with not being able to get funding from the government because they're a church. They were not able to get funding, and so they didn't have a place to meet. And so a couple of disciples said, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sell our homes. We're going to sell our homes so the church can have a place to meet. And so they sold their homes, and they say, you know, we're going to loan the church this money so that the church can have a place to meet, to worship. And then, of course, the church is gradually paying them back. And they, from what I understood, they got a loan, so they're able to, and sometimes soon, pay them back fully. But this was their heart. Their heart was, you know what? My money, my home, it's not God. I mean, it's not mine. It's God. When they shared that, the room went silent. The room went absolute silent. And again, don't worry, I'm not asking anyone here to sell their homes to give to the church. Because sometimes you might think, wow, okay, where are we going with this? Okay, just wait for him to say, bring the basket back around again. No, what I'm talking about is that, do we believe what we have belongs to us, or do we believe it belongs to God? We may not have to sacrifice our home for the church, but if we believe it belongs to God, we'll use our home and use whatever we have the way that God wants us to use it. The real faith is not about what we feel. Because I'm sure to sell their home, if I were in their shoes, I'd be feeling a lot of things. I'd be thinking a lot of things. I would believe a lot of things. It's not about what you say. It's not about what you feel. It's not about what you think. It's not about what you believe. But it's about what we do. You know, we think about Rahab as we begin to conclude. Rahab is mentioned here with Abraham. And yet Rahab, the exact opposite of Abraham. Abraham was a man, a Jew, considered a patriarch, considered somebody, a major figure in the scriptures. Rahab, a woman, a Gentile, a prostitute, someone who people would consider a nobody, a minor figure in the scriptures. You know, but what I do believe, why James includes her alongside Abraham, because it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are, that as long as you have real faith and you act on it, that it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we bring to God. Because God can use us as long as we have the real faith that God can use us to do amazing things. But our faith is not determined by what we feel, what we think, what we say, what we believe. But real faith is about what we do. You know, our faith is not determined by what we do. It is demonstrated by what we do. You know, in conclusion, I do believe that God wants to use us to do in amazing things individually, collectively. God wants us to live a life with Him filled with adventure, excitement, fulfillment, to accomplish great things in our lifetime and have an influence on families, friends, for generations to come. But it won't happen by just saying. It won't happen by just going by how we feel or how we think or just by what we believe, but how we live our day-to-day lives by having real faith. Amen.